right, we're back. Okay, good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Ben Karpinski is here. Follow him on The Bounce Show, which is also here right on The Real Network. And they had a brand new episode this week.
Every week. Greatest Photos Part 2 this week.
Excellent.
Oh, so many great stories. And semi-male nudity, which is always decent.
You don't get that very much. And I'm glad. I'm glad for it. I would like, you know, for us all to just find a happy medium. Again, balance is everything.
Yeah.
Between like OnlyFans, outright porn of men and women. We don't. That's too much this way. And we also don't want none at all. A friend of mine had this bizarre idea to. I don't know that it's a good idea. I haven't committed myself to an argument on this. He wants to revive those old nudie mags from a kind of nostalgic point of view. Remember with the stars on the nipples?
Yeah, smart.
I mean, almost because there's something more alluring and exciting than about that than there is like full nudity. It's like, you know, when there's just a little bit covered up, so the curiosity.
Yeah, Gareth, I've obviously given this no thought because you've just brought it up. But I think that a tactile bit of soft porn might be what the world needs.
Yeah, it's sort of in the middle there.
Because it's like any child can open their phone right now and see the most explicit things.
It's revolting.
It is revolting. There was almost like a touch of gentlemanliness about the soft porn.
Yeah, and they were always on the top shelf.
Those guys are going to see that out anyway. Yeah. So you have to be more than 5'3" to get it.
Yeah, short people have always lucked out on that. All right, now, our guest this morning is JT Fox. He's been on my show before. Show them the picture of what we looked like back in the day, because he just brought this picture for me. He obviously keeps a good archive. He's a South African-born entrepreneur, business coach, and a self-styled wealth strategist known for his global business events and seminars. He's just written a new book, too, which we'll talk about in a minute. And it's great pleasure to see you again. How are you, my friend?
I wasn't born here, so this is...
Oh, you weren't? It says here South African born. Where did you pull that out of, James?
Yeah, I don't know where you pulled that out of, but James. I was born in Canada and I live in America, so having you guys...
It says right on the back here of the book, James. Don't trust producer James. James in the workplace.
It says on the back, what? He wasn't born in South Africa.
So, James,
this is the third time you've given me a bullshit made-up intro. Are you... Yeah,
that's not what Google says.
James, look at us. That's us.
Yeah, that's us. 10 years ago, 9.5 years ago.
I think we've got better.
I think we did get better. I looked at it this morning, and then and you were like, obviously pro America back then. So
I've always been. You went from
like a Howard Stern to like a Joe Rogan now. Like,
you think?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's a very good thing. Well, $250 million a year.
I'm not getting that, though.
Not yet.
I need to read your book.
You need maybe 25,000 Rand, but it's the same thing. It's all equal. You know, the Rand is at like 95. By the way, I'm rich. I come down here. I'm a billionaire. Did you not come to this country? I mean, I'm officially a billionaire.
I believe you just hired a helicopter to come here this morning, and it cost you nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much, everything is pretty much free here, and... But they still have Nando's, which ironically enough, Nando's is on fire in America right now.
Yeah.
They just opened the Texas locations brand. Are the number one grossing Nando's in the world.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So you've written a new book, but we'll talk about why you're here in a minute. Because you come back to South Africa fairly often.
No, I've been here since 18. So it's a little weird.
I've been American since 2019. So we're evens.
Yeah. But it's different because this place got me famous. This place created me. And staying like across from the Sandton Convention when I first went there and, you know, walking through Sandton Mall, which nothing has changed. The same stores, the same everything.
Oh, Flex just wants to sort out your microphone.
Yeah, he was giving the incorrect bio, discriminatory against short-term people.
So I'm sorry. I've got producers here who clearly are hell-bent on making everything not great about the show again.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I look forward to talking about America. Yeah. I just love how you guys were talking about America.
We'll talk about that in a second. So just tell me again why you're here.
So I'm here because I'm speaking tomorrow with Robert Kiyosaki. I think there's like 4,000 or 5,000 people. I had no plans on coming back. I sort of got guilted. I did get guilted to come
what
back.
What happened?
You know, they said, you know, we gave you your shot. We discovered you in South Africa. We need you to come back. And, you know, because I own 79 companies and brands all over the world, the RAN is not so good, right? So whatever you earn here, it's just you pretty much your income gets destroyed.
Are you saying you're here against your will?
I don't know if I get that. Let's put it this way. I wasn't, since COVID things changed, right? And so like I'm trying to travel a lot less. And I mean, I had a house in Danfern. You know, yeah. I pretty much know everybody here. People still recognize me when I walk, which is amazing because I haven't been here. And I love the spirit, which is interesting because now I do business in 55 countries. And do you know how many people that I meet that are South African that are making millions and are very successful outside of South Africa?
Well, this is something I wanted to ask you about because you talk to business people and celebrities and you mix with some important people in America. And it's amazing. There's this undercurrent going around about how the South Africans are actually running things. Because there are so many. Well, I never heard that.
Which people? The same people you talked about, Justin Bieber, who, by the way, is not going bankrupt. He's got so much money. He owns the house free and clear. So
he's
and the house is like $30 million. He's fine.
I'm talking about that. There are a lot of guys in California and Silicon Valley. There's
you're talking about Elon.
There's Elon.
But people don't like Elon right now. Unfortunately,
yeah. But there are lots of people in the Trump administration.
But people don't think Elon is South African, believe it or not. They don't. It doesn't register to people because he says his time here wasn't good.
No,
he
doesn't talk about
this. And there's this father issue.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've probably been the biggest proponent of South Africa. I mean, I always said, are you a South African or South Africant? And this notion where like, I can't. And the interesting thing is, you know, you make money in business. I have a lot of business when you solve problems. And there's a lot of problems here. There's problems all over the world, but there's a lot of problems here. Now there's some disadvantages and people look at BE, but I look at, there's tons of opportunities and you take a look at Sandton and it's really more advanced than most US cities, I would say, if you really are in there, the beauty of it. And, you know, but I think the problem with America is Americans are focused on America. Right. Yeah. And they think Africa is just one giant place and they couldn't tell you how many countries there are in it. And obviously, you know, it just, and that's the mood in America now. It's become an America first kind of wave because, you know, Joe Biden was asleep at the wheel for 4 years.
All right. And is it controversial to say that anymore? Because it was hugely controversial to even whisper that you thought maybe Joe wasn't
No, it wasn't. It's just everyone said it who was a conservative. The Democrats denied it. Now the Democrats are coming to say, even his aide saying, you know, he had a piece of tape kind of like all over your floor here so that you can go to the bathroom so I could be guided, right? So I see it right in front of me. So I know if I have to go to the bathroom, just follow the green line. And so I think the problem is this, is that in America, no matter what Donald Trump does, right? Democrats can never agree with Donald Trump. And then vice versa, no Republican could ever agree with Joe Biden because if anyone agrees with Donald Trump, they're not going to get reelected.
So we've become all about our side. Well, we've become tribal.
Yeah, it just.
Our guy's always, even when he's wrong, he has to be right. Always wrong. We're always.
I mean, think about it, right? The Democrats now are taking on this El Salvador thing where some people are getting deported. And the guy, his wife even said, we don't want him. He beats me. And that's the poster child, right?
This guy as their poster guy.
Yeah.
As their stand-up
and then
guy.
You have someone like Elon Musk. Like, why wouldn't you not get rid of corruption? Like, you know as well as I know that if Doge was here in South Africa.
Even if Doge is 5% effective.
But don't you want to get rid of the corruption, which, by the way,
that'll save you as a taxpayer money.
But you know what the problem is that means Donald Trump did something right. That means that. And so now you have people boycotting Tesla down 70%. I have people that own Teslas and people are throwing rocks at it. And they're like, you know what? I love my Tesla, but I have kids. It's not worth it. Like, we now live in a society that if I don't agree with your political beliefs, I'm going to tear you down. I'm going to cancel you. And
we were talking about this just before you came on, and I'm.
Was
so
it the
glad
river that, thing and the smell and
no,
your?
Well, you know, whole, the, we the, talk
the
about
too. That would have got canceled in America.
We went everywhere.
Hashtag canceled.
Yeah, well, you can come. Whomsoever wants to come, let him come. those are the words of Mike Tyson's former manager Don King. You remember him?
Yes,
the crazy
Don King.
Hair.
Yeah, the corrupt guy.
So what is it like doing business now in America as opposed to a year or two ago?
Well, first of all, COVID, you know, thank you for Omicron, by the way. That was a great thing.
Yeah, we made
you,
that
you guys made news on that one.
We sent it
came
to
from
you.
South Africa, like with, Omicron.
With love.
Wait, did you ever notice that every one of these like names sounds like a disease of like some kind of pharmaceutical, like Omicron? Like who came up with that?
Well, that one was easy. I can explain it because there's alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and then you eventually end up at the letter Omicron, which is the ancient Greek for O. Eventually, when we run out of letters, when we go past Omega, which is the last letter in the Greek alphabet, then we'll have to come up with some new nomenclature. We haven't got there yet.
They'll find something. So what
that
happened?
It does sound like an evil disease.
What happened is everybody was shut down. Everybody was shut down, and all of a sudden, like government was giving money to everywhere, and it was like the property market absolutely exploded. And you had rates at like I got a 30-year mortgage at 2.2%. I mean, think about that 2.2% 30 years.
Wow,
which is insane. So everything made money. Rates went up, but what happens is that the property market slowed down, but the stocks rocketed. Right. And then Trump got in and it completely exploded. And now it's down. It's now back up. It's down. And, you know, people complain about Trump being the tariffs, but at the end of the day, people have been taking care, like taking advantage of America, right? Yeah. So you have to take a look at it. Like if you
just
are being-
Just explain that to people because I didn't understand it properly and someone tried to explain to me that if you sell an American car in Europe, America to sell that car in Europe has to pay some 20%
30-40% as high as 60% in some place.
Is it high as that?
Yeah. And so you don't see, like example, in Germany where I do business, you don't see American cars. You don't see Ford pickup trucks, right? And then vice versa, the U.S. market is flooded with
European
German cars, which, by the way, are great cars.
Sure.
So what happens is if you read the book of The Art of War by Donald Trump, this is classic Trump. I know Trump very well. I know the family. I brought on your show 9 years ago his right-hand man who happens to be my coach.
Right.
He's going to go to the extreme and then pull back. So it's a game of chicken.
I see it's already happening,
by the way. It is already happening. You have the UK who caved in yesterday.
Just yesterday.
And I'm from Canada originally. And Canada's like just elected this guy, Mark Carney.
Mark Carney.
Yeah. And they're like, we want someone to stand up to Trump. I'm like, America is like 360 million people. You have 35. You need us more than you need them. Even like, so it's like, what are you going to do? Like, and so, but you know, the problem is Trump exit on with the 51st state, which I would never happen.
That's
the person on the left there. That's George Ross.
George Ross.
And look how young you look there. Nice and healthy. Oh,
thanks.
And
yeah. I'm looking shit now. Is that what you're trying to say?
I just say you look
but
tired.
That is interesting. Because that guy was on The Apprentice with him.
Yep, The Apprentice is right-hand man. And he never got political. And to be honest with you, no one thought Trump was going to win. Like, it just, the problem is that I think after he got shot and then people saw how bad Biden was and how bad Kamala Harris, which her mistake was not to come on shows like this with Joe Rogan. And basically, she could put three words together.
Yeah, it would have been even worse if she had gone on shows.
Oh, it would have been horrible. I mean, if she had been in.
We would have seen that she had no personality at all, right?
But it's like this, right? Let's say you have this massive office complex and you come in and say, listen, we're upside down, we're losing money, vendors are taking advantage of us, we got to come in, we got to get rid of people, we got to clean house, we got to like shrink things, and there's going to be pain, and then we're going to be on the rebound, except everybody wants to get rid of the bad, but no one wants to go through the pain that it takes because the market is emotional. So people get very emotional. And as a result, like when Trump got reelected, everyone loved Trump. Like for like 2.5 months, like I went back around the world and 90% of the people now in Terrace, I was in Australia, like Donald Trump Jr. had to cancel a tour because of not enough tickets sold. And, you know, people are starting to like hate America. But at the end of the day, America's footing the bill for Ukraine and a lot of different things. It's like enough, like you pay. And I think it's, you know, our taxes are paying for that. And I think at the end of the day, it's not taking advantages. You charge us 10, we charge us 10. Now, the big thing is once China falls, now you have to understand China is all about saving face. I do business in China. They would rather die than admit they're wrong.
Yeah, of course.
So at the end, the Chinese have to feel that they got a victory and then Trump has to feel us to get a victory. That's the art of the deal.
Right.
So once China falls, I think they'll all fall. There's a lot of countries are coming to the table as well to coming for tariffs. And right now, if you just, it was breaking news, you know, the Malema thing didn't make my feed, but this this did. I was going to wear a red polo today, but I didn't want to.
You're paying attention to the right stuff.
Well, I read 40 newspapers a day all over the world because, like you, I'm very educated. But I'm the type of person that, especially now with AI, if I read something bad about something, I always try to read the opposite. Mm. Because we tend to only listen the things that we agree with.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why Fox News is popular. That's why MSNBC. So I like to be in the middle. There are things I love about Trump and there are things I don't like. Like, for example, why do you need to create a shit coin? Like, yeah, you know, why? Yeah, and by the way, the like fees that, are going in there. And you know it all went to the kids. I mean, there's the insider thing going on. And right. The day that they got inaugurated, Melania launched her coin. I bet she didn't even know the coin because she goes, we're going to do a coin for you, Melania. It's like, we're going to have a coin, Melania. It's going to be huge. It's going to be bigly. Nobody knows. Donald, I don't want a coin. I want a credit card. You know what I mean? So then, you know what? The amount of fees that they made on that, I think it's like $19 million. The coin is not really there. And obviously, I own a lot of crypto, so it's kind of good for me. But you know the thing is being artificially pumped to be that.
But you know what? I also think it's like, for example, when everybody says, oh, we need stricter rules to stop people from gambling away their miserable savings and inheritance or whatever it is. People are going to do dumb stuff with their money.
I know, but here's the problem. Nobody who did shitcoins, nobody who did NFTs, how many pump and dumps were created?
Huge.
And now one person went to jail. So
they should have.
No, but say, right? We're a system in America now, to be honest with you. I know people that blatantly defrauded, PPE fraud, that are definitely defrauded investors, no accountability. And like, I have to obviously stay above board because it only takes one time. So it's become this kind of notion now that, you know what, it's everyone for themselves now in America. So, you know, it's, you know, kill or be killed. And that's the way America is right now. It's definitely not united. It'll never be united no matter what happens. And if Trump pulls off the tariffs, he's got another year and a half. And the reason why, because then there's the second election for Congress, it'll all turn blue. If he doesn't work it by then, it's over the next 2 years of deadlock. And so, then they're going to put like Gavin Newsom or AOC, which would be like absolutely horrible. We might as well call commie America.
Yeah. I mean, if the smart money is on the, if the economy goes down, then Trump's finished. The Republicans are finished.
But he's got a year and a half to turn
around. A lame duck for the second half.
The question is like, okay, was it worth it to do the tariffs? That's what he campaigned for. That's what he did. And America's been taken advantage of. It's just, I think it's the problem is that nobody wants to handle lowering debt. Everyone wants to kick the can down the road. But if Trump succeeds, let's just assume he does succeed. If he doesn't, and it fails, I'll say like, dude, you tried, you failed. Mm. And yeah, but at least give the man or people in charge. But then you will see a movement across the world of similar candidates like Trump.
Yeah.
And the first thing they're going to get rid of government corruption. And I think we all know here the biggest issue. How much money is it being wasted if things were audited here? But anywhere.
I want to bring Ben in on something because my producer, James, who can't get a biography right if his life depends on it, but he doesn't recognize celebrities. He's like a total celebrity slut. So he saw your profile picture on your WhatsApp of you and Lionel Messi.
Yeah, me and Lionel
Messi. That's quite fucking cool. Where did you see him?
So I saw him in Paris right before he went to he was going through a really bad time with Paris Saint-Germain. And I remember saying to him, and by the way, he is the most awkward dude I've ever met. Like, he looked at my shoes.
Really?
By the way, I was like, he just looked down and I'm like, you should come to America. And he just kind of put his head down. So I may have been responsible, but who knows? Or David Beckham, one of the two.
Were you responsible for his tax problems after that?
Hasn't he been
his dad was his tax manager?
Well, that's what happened in Spain, though. Same thing happened with Shakira. Same thing would happen
Ronaldo
with Shakira.
Ronaldo went through similar stuff. It's really not the big story.
It was 20. Right. He paid $20 million in back taxes, but he's doing fine with that deal in America. But you know, but what happened is he kind of like shoot us a little bit. And then Sergio Ramos came in, like, because Messi is kind of like Rain Man, introverted, you know, like just genius. And by the way, so he comes up and then Sergio Ramos, who's the defender at the time for Paris Saint-Germain, now he's back in Spain. He's like total right-brainer talking. And he remembers that when LeBron James was when Miami and gave him a hug, Sergio Ramos said, "Man, that guy never gave us a hug, and I was his teammate for 3 years, right? He just never talked to anybody, was just in his zone, you know what I mean?" And so, but he's a genius, and total opposite personality with Ronaldo, who yeah. I'm told like just could be anybody's friends. But, you know, another great guy was Tom Brady, who I know. So I do know, had the pleasure of meeting, because of what I do, some of the world's most successful people, including, but you know what? I've been impressed with a lot of South Africans I've met here. Uh-huh. But I've always idolized more the South Africans than you guys. Right, Wayne Van Niekerk, 400 gold medalist, Olympic record. François Pienaar, even Patrice Motsepe, who came to my event. I was just blown away.
Oh, by the way, you know that they're going to delist African Rainbow Capital Investments. It's going to be delisted, and a lot of people saying this is perhaps an early sign that they are grooming him to run for president.
Oh, wow. Does Cyril still own all the McDonald's, or did he delist?
Oh, he had to divest himself of all of that.
He divest or just yeah. give it to a trust that he's
well,
still
owns. It's kind of like what Trump had to do with the Trump organization, you know? Well,
I don't know now. I think everybody runs. Yeah. I think now they're building a Trump tower in Dubai. Like, think about the guy yeah. is the president. They're announcing,
and Gaza, we're going to turn Gaza into
great. We love Dubai. It's fantastic. It's big. It's huge. Nobody does it better. The number one building in the world in Dubai at the moment right now. We love Gareth.
He's
fantastic.
We're just
going to
put Trump on it. Now, we talked about Dubai just before we came back from the break. Dubai seems to me to be like a beacon for a whole lot of fraudsters and bullshit artists and people who are get-rich-quick schemes, all kinds of shit.
Well, there's a lot of OnlyFans model. They all go there because
yeah,
of the tax.
Yeah, I mean, tell me what your impression
of
Dubai is.
I look at, first of all, I have to take a look at Dubai as run literally like a business, right? Because obviously there's one man who makes the decisions.
Sure.
And during COVID, they made a brilliant thing. They said, we're opening, and that's what launched Dubai. And what they've done, the branding, the attracting the companies, attracting people, no taxes, although now there's going to be a little bit, 5% on taxes, a little bit. It's actually quite genius. And if you go in there, I mean, it's beautiful. It's just the traffic is just the worst. But Miami, I think you, it's like, because in America, no one's moving to Dubai. You can't move anywhere if you live in America, because no matter where you move, you have to pay taxes for the rest of your life, right? Uh-huh. In America.
Yeah.
So if there was no tax, I'm sure all these scammers in Miami would go to Dubai, right? And so, but the problem is that they're not scamming in Dubai.
Yeah.
Because if they scam in Dubai, like if you do a check and it bounces, you go to jail. So
well, not if you, I mean, like some of the worst criminals that South Africa's Guptas live there, don't they?
Yeah, I'm surprised they never, because there's no extradition.
Yeah, there's no extradition.
There's no extradition. And so, but they've done, I mean, the amount of money that poured in. See, Dubai wants you to bring their money. They don't want you. They don't want money to leave Dubai. They
right.
want money to come in.
Okay.
Because with that, they have infrastructures. But they've also done a great job, because in 08, they got burnt by the property developing market, right? So they, in a situation where a lot of developers ran out of money and they left town. Now, a developer, all the deposits cannot be used until after it's finished. So you really need cash to build up the whole building. Then you could take the deposit. Then you can get the financing. So I have to say,
wow.
In terms of the place in the world and the safety, America is not safe. There's one thing, although you guys are surrounded by walls and barbed wire here.
But we've had to deal with it for a couple of years. I mean, in America, you guys have a lot of problems. In the big cities, it's not great.
Well, no, the blue cities.
The blue big cities.
The Democratic cities, right?
Where do you live most of the time?
Chicago, Nashville, and Florida, but less
Chicago.
Okay,
so Chicago.
Well, that's what happened. I left during the pandemic, right? So I saw the first riot that happened in Chicago. Then I saw the second one, and I could literally see from my complex onto Michigan Avenue.
Could you see Jussie Smollett the night he pretended he was
attacked?
You know
what? That's like
from your window.
It was right around the corner from my building.
I knew it.
It was right. I didn't see it.
Did you see his race hoax? Because that would have been great. Imagine if you'd been filming it from your...
The problem is that what if had been the other way around, right? So, but the Chicago is just... We live in a world where for some reason the Democrats want to protect the illegals, they want to protect the criminals, and they want to protect the bad actors. So that's the way it is. But, you know, the thing is that I'm an independent, so I think that's the way to go.
All right, so... Bitcoin Boot says crypto is shit. Bitcoin dominance is around 65% over the whole crypto market, but he's a Bitcoin maximalist. So any comments on crypto before we move on from that?
I mean, here's the thing too. So I actually started in 2017. I got in at 2900 US, right? So I got in pretty early. So, and I've never sold. And I look at it, it's either going to make a lot of money. Like, there's one threat to crypto at this point, one threat. A terrorist attack, and they find out they use crypto, they're going to shut that thing. They're going to do something to it, right? Because think about this, right? I mean, you know what's happening. Russia is avoiding sanctions by using crypto. Like, the amount of money that's being moved in the wallets and the anonymity. But, you know, at this point, it's adopted. There's so much big money on it, but that would be the only threat. But there's only 6% of the world's population that's actually invested in crypto. So it's quite small. Although I did see a Bitcoin ATM in Santon Mall, I have to admit.
Yeah, there is one.
There was. Yeah. It has a little stanchion.
You going to use it?
No, I don't know if I can. By the way, why does everybody have their hand in their gun in the Santon Mall? Has there been any robberies or something like that? Every store has a security guard, but they all have their hand on their gun.
As an American, I thought you'd be used to seeing guns everywhere.
Well, but I'm not used to having people have their hands on it.
Well, you never know when, you know.
Does it happen in
Santon Mall? Some machosha is going to attack you for your Bitcoin.
Does it happen in Santon Mall? Like, has there? I know there's happened in other places, like Melrose Park.
I'm not aware of any incidents recently.
If it does, you take it with a pinch of salt. It's like a moving headline. It's like, oh, okay.
I don't really trust some of these people with guns, though. Like, I don't really. Like, I don't.
Funny, neither do we.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Yeah, we don't either.
And then also, too, like, some people, like, how are they going to catch anybody? That, I was like, dude, like, there must be a requirement. Like, my security is like 6'5" boxer.
Oh, yeah, they don't have
big muscles.
No. This is an ongoing discussion here. It's like our police, our security guards, there are a lot of these people who are, two flights of stairs, they'll be out of breath.
But that's like that in America too, the police officers, because they're unionized. Right, but Sarah, the firefighters, once the unions comes in, they can't get fired.
Donuts, dude. Still donuts.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to get canceled after this.
So. Oh, for sure. Possibly. All right, so what are you doing that's new since the last time we spoke? I mean, business-wise, tell me about what your portfolio is all about.
I did two things in the last. So in the last 2.5 months, my book became number one all over the world in business. And I basically started doing a lot of mergers and acquisitions. And I think South Africa and Africa in general is prime for consolidation. There's so much fragmentation. Like in South Africa, you have the big corporates, they're all in Santon, and then you have small businesses. And so what I do all over the world in countries, I put companies together and get them to a certain profit, and then I sell them to a private equity. So anything from, you will see the future being plumbing, home services, electrician, because nobody wants to. In fact, I own a trade school as well. I think the biggest, anything that is work with your hands, trades, plumbers, electrician, they're going to become the new millionaires. Mm-hmm. And you will see countries will start plucking them over. Like in Australia, if you have a South African electrician who maybe makes like 40,000, you know.
They call him a lickie.
A
lickie. I've got to get myself a lickie to come and fix my fridge. It's not working properly.
So they have to get paid in Australia $120,000. Which is the equivalent of what they pay. So think about someone makes like maybe 400,000 rand a year as an electrician. They go to Australia, they're now making 129, and it has to be the exact same standard. Nobody wants to work. If they work overtime, like it's insane. Like in Australia, if you work Saturday, it's time and a half. If you work Sunday, it's double time.
Right.
So like, and then if you go to the mines, it's like triple the salary because nobody wants to work.
You mean actually literally they're millionaires compared to what they're
100%. Yeah. I think there'll be more millionaires. And I saw a lot of South Africans in Perth. It's like a new South Africa over there. Mm. But I'm starting to see them in Sydney and Brisbane. And they're open for immigration. Like they're open. So, you know, this is a beautiful country. But between living here or Australia, with the growth and opportunity, there's a shortage of just about everything. It's just a bit expensive to do that. You know, the quickest way to go broke is to go from South Africa and take a trip to London. That's the quickest way you're going to go broke.
Ben, you're looking forward to that, right?
Yeah. Excited about this.
Where do you not like going? I mean, you said you're here against your will in some ways, which I think is kind of funny, but where do you not like going?
Like in the world or in South Africa?
Yeah, in the world.
You know, the problem here is I truly love this country. And you know, in my basement, I have trophies from Messi signed and Tom Brady and Wayne Gretzky and Jack Nicklaus, right? And I have a picture of the Springbok team, the one that won during there. And I look at that, and I made so many people very successful here. I just thought that as soon as something happened in their world, they turned negative. And the negative attitude and blaming this and blaming that and blaming this. And I help so many people here. And, you know.
So what is it about us? Because this is something that I've picked up on and we've talked about it on the show for years. What is it about South Africans in general? I mean, obviously, you know, there are exceptions to every rule.
Well, here's the thing. Black people think that are disadvantaged because they're not white. And white people think here they're at a disadvantage because they're not black.
Uh-huh.
So black doesn't want to do business with black. White says that it's black people extort them if they're part of BE with no-show jobs and have to give a portion to get the contract. So everybody thinks that nobody can do business. And I come here and I clean up because I see opportunity. I see this country as opportunity. Now, when I first came here 10 years ago, the RAND was 1 to 8.
Yeah.
Right? 1 to 8 to the U.S. dollar. 1 to 10. Sure. Right? And so I think if we took the South Africans and put them in America, right? I like to give this analogy here. It's one shark with a bunch of seals.
Yeah.
In America, it's like 100 sharks with one seal.
Yeah.
And if you put those South Africans anywhere in the world, they'd realize, because the greatest gift of South Africans is their people skills. They have likability. I just think some people spend more time complaining what they don't have and what's not fair rather than saying, okay, it is what it is. Like, you know, it is what it is. And so the spirit is there and it's not going to change, you know. And I think a lot of people forgot the ideals and the principles of Nelson Mandela, you know. And I think that's just kind of like an illusion. But I've learned a lot from him. You know, I met Indaba and I went to his house. And so I learned a lot about the history. And I brought so many celebrities here. Apple co-founder, George Ross, you know, so many big names. But there's a lot of opportunities here. But you have to create your own economy. Okay, it's like this country doesn't owe you anything, right? Just like America doesn't owe me anything. I'm Canadian, right? So I moved to America.
But no one in the world owes you anything.
No, that's the point.
No matter who you are.
Everyone here likes to talk about their problem. Guess what? 90% of the people don't care about your problems. And the 10% are happy that you have those problems. So what other people think about you is none of your business. You know what? Everyone told you you couldn't do the podcast. You were the first in the world to set up a podcast show before that, where people were complaining about how my data, you know, you were like screwing everybody's cell phone data when it came out. I remember that. It was there 10 years ago. People are like, you were costing them money, but you were the first one. Everyone told you. 10 years later, you're still here. So, you know, is it easy? Nowhere is easy. But when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, when you have the energy and enthusiasm and you maintain relationships, and we've maintained a relationship. It's been 10 years, you know, since, you know, 2017 we've been here. You're the worst at responding on WhatsApp. If I'm ever stuck in jail here in South Africa, you will not be my one WhatsApp call.
Yeah, sorry. JT messaged me the other day, and I was like, shit, I haven't replied to him.
I thought he didn't like me. For a long time, I thought you didn't like me.
No. I'm
like being on your show because a lot of people listen.
I try really hard to be good. I just forget sometimes. You know what the problem is here is it only allows you to pin 3 chats. So whenever I get things I have to respond to in
the
day.
You know with AI you can do that? Like,
really?
What's happening with AI is amazing, right?
So tell me, because I'm maybe missing out on some stuff.
I tell you,
here.
I think AI is the greatest thing, better than Google. Remember when it first came up, Google? It is better. So for example, I took my brain. So I have about 8,000 hours. Literally, you can upload every single one of your podcasts.
I've tried this already. It does. It generates. I'm not going to be doing the show.
No,
live.
Because now you can do an avatar. They've created an avatar of me to go on Zoom. Yes. It's not even me.
Watch.
By the way, you can. You know how like people read books? Like with the audio is coming up. It's all AI voice.
Yeah.
I did one line, and it created voice.
Right.
And then you can adjust tonality and everything.
Sure. Make me a little friendlier.
Maybe like
more.
And now, business is war. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
they
add these tonalities. And now we have AI customer service. Because what we found out, and this happens all the time, like Africa time here, I'm like, is still in full effect. Yeah. Like they have Nando's. I'll get my food in 7 minutes. Here, I had 8 people staring at my chicken. And it took like 37 minutes to get my Nando's.
Yeah.
37 minutes. Then I went to like to Woolworth. Right, and to get some juice, I waited 38 minutes in line, and everyone's looking.
That's ridiculous.
Everyone's looking in line, and I was like, "Why is it taking so long?" And anyway, so you know, speed is the key. So now, if anybody calls, let's say for an electrician, or they call for a service, if you don't pick up the phone, they're going to go to the next one.
Well,
so now they got AI customer agents that can answer, sort them out, and then put the lead to the right of person based on the importance of the lead and
that's
what they
cool.
want.
Okay.
They have now AI sales agent that can reach out to people that are pre-qualifying leads. And by the way, they cost nothing. I can now do research on AI. Give me, I want to be on podcasts. Name me, I did this. Name me 100 entrepreneurs who have exited their company between 100 million rand and 1 billion. And it gave me a long list of people. Their services now that you can link into AI that gives me their email address and their phone numbers because everybody has public information.
Wow.
Then it creates the email. Then it gives me a template of, hey, this person. And then I click if I want. It sends out some of them I don't want. And the amount of finding business and doing it, the research. So I do a lot of property investments all over the world as well. I go on property websites. I type in, I am looking for XYZ, right? This type of property in this area. And I could do this in South Africa on, property.co.za. And it will search overnight. And when I come in, I can have the list of properties I have. It could have an email ready to send up. And as soon as I approve, send in the email. I used to spend about 6 hours every Monday morning from 3 a.m. in the morning to 9 writing copy. I now spend 36 minutes.
That's fantastic.
By the way, everything. Like the research as well. So I don't know why you're Googling. Nobody here should Google. First of all, Google is based on like pay for play. Like let's say you want to Google. I'm going to Italy, right? And you go on Google Forte de Marne, let's say where I'm going, where Andrea Bocelli lives, where I meet him. And
are you going to spend some time with him?
Yeah, at his house.
That's very
cool. I built
cool.
a relationship. Yeah.
Wow.
And so you know what it is? There's a key. I've met the world's most successful people. You know what the key is? Add value. Right?
So what do you do for Andrea Bocelli?
So I raised over $1 million for his foundation. And then once a year, he has an event at his house. 400 of the most successful people, CEO of Chanel,
Shit.
Louis Vuitton, Sofia Vergara, Kevin James, David Foster. And I wow. add a lot of value. And his wife said to me, JT, what would you like? We'd like to invite you to the party. And I said, okay. I said, one favor. She goes, whatever you want. I said, can I bring my family? And I treat my clients like family. Both my parents passed away, you know, alcohol, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, how many? I'm like, 44. She goes, what? 44. She goes, 44. What are you, Italian? So my one ask is for me to bring my clients with me. So I have
That's
a policy.
Cool.
I spent all day last year on the set of Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise. And I saw clips of the movie. I swear to God, anybody who has anything bad to say, he is the most intense, detail-oriented guy.
And he does
I've
all his own
met.
Stunts, right?
All his own stunts. I saw with my own eyes. There's no script on Mission Impossible. He gets in the water in the tank, and he's like, all right, I'm going to say this on the fly. The other cast members knew. He's just making up on the fly. And then they gave us, like, we're this giant turbine where you stood there at 135 miles an hour in a hurricane wind and said, try doing that in the air while turning. He's 60-odd years old,
yeah.
And when he's not working out, and every staff that had there said he was like the nicest. So he'd start like, how was your weekend? He knows everything about their family. So we judge people. Like people judge Trump. I know Trump. By what you see in the media.
Sure.
Right? People say things about you. They say things about me. But if you just sat down on this couch and got to know us or go in there and then you didn't like us after, I get it. But we judge too many people. We point the finger at everybody else when we have three
and
fingers pointing
back. And what do you get out of that? So you feel superior for what, 2 seconds?
No, because it makes you feel better where you are. Misery loves company. If you're miserable and they're miserable, you could be miserably happily together.
Tom Cruise, huh?
It was good. And then, you know,
the world's greatest actor right now.
You know who's the one of most?
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's also the most well-paid actor in the world right now.
You know who's the nicest guy?
He makes any movie a success, right?
You know who's the nice guy? Kevin Costner.
Really?
Oh, my God. So nice, so genuine. One of the most authentic guys I've ever met.
I hear from people who know these very famous people that he's exactly the same off camera as he is on. And he's a very, very chilled guy. He means what he says. He's got a lot of integrity. He's a good dude.
He's
Kevin Costner.
I could see
that.
And if people go to my Instagram, JTFox2X, the first video is a video of him meeting Walt Disney when he was 5.
Really?
Yeah. And he didn't know, like, obviously didn't know that it would be in there. And, but the guy that I closest met to his character is Vince Vaughn. Like, I know Vince very well. He, like, kind of like in the movies, the guy that I was shocked the most that is completely not his character is Keanu Reeves. He is not John Wick.
So what is he
was
like?
He was like very mousy. And I'm like, dude, you're John Wick. Like you never die. And he's like, you know, like that odd bird character. That's what I go in there. Will Ferrell, he has these like quiet moments, but then he'll turn it on and then he'll turn it off. Like super, but he has got that switch.
Yeah.
He's got that switch. So yes, I had the pleasure of meeting a lot of people and you know, like people say like Charlie Sheen is crazy, but he's like,
what's he up to? Is he still alive?
He's writing a book.
Okay, but he's not well apparently.
No, he is well.
Oh, he's okay?
Yeah, he's just writing a book. Okay. He's writing a book. They gave him a lot of money, so he wants to do that. And I think they're trying to make a comeback with a new show. But, you know, what's interesting is going to happen is, like, Trump put a tariff overseas, right, for international movies, which, by the way, I've funded over 80 movies. I was in a movie with Bruce Willis and Elizabeth Hurley. When you fund the movie, you can be in any movie you want. If you want, I could put you in a movie.
No, I'm all right.
You could play yourself.
No, I'm okay.
No, you could play yourself.
Don't want to be in a movie.
You're really good. But this tell is kind of like a movie set right
Liz,
here.
Liz Hurley.
If people actually really know what we're looking at. This is like a...
So you movie with... What?
I was in a movie with Elizabeth Hurley. I die in every movie. The reason I die is so I can leave the set. Because acting is so boring.
It takes such a long time.
It does, because they do like this is one and done. If I had to redo a scene, I wouldn't do it, right? No. And then they redo it from 12 different angles. But I was in the last movie that Bruce Willis did, and that was very sad. He was completely out of it. Earpiece in his ear. Completely out of it. And I was shocked about that. And then
this one guy says in the comments, I could jam with Keanu, like guitar. Jam.
Yeah, he's actually a good musician.
He is.
Very. And he's got a band, which, by the way, without Keanu Reeves, I don't know how
well. No, I wouldn't do so well then. So well. It's like a lot of these famous people. Yeah,
no, by the way, the band does well with or without Keanu. I just want to point that out in case my path crosses.
Okay.
Are we getting positive comments?
Yeah, there are lots of people here. Carl says, I've just replaced Google with ChatGPT. I don't Google anymore.
Yeah. But like I said back to you, if you Google... Give me 10
is
places.
Is JT a Scientologist?
No. Okay. Hell no. Yeah, I would never give 20% of my money to the church.
Do they have to give 20%?
Yeah, 20%. Plus, here's the key to Scientology, right? The more you pay, the higher you go.
Yeah.
So it's based on, you know what I mean? So
pay to play.
Yeah. Like, I'm okay, man. I'm good on Earth. I don't need to be hanging out with Xenus and aliens and stuff like that.
Xenu.
I mean, if you think about it, it's a great tax write-off. It's a great tax write-off, but...
So what do you do when you, I mean, when you're not hanging out with Andrea Bocelli and you're not working, what do you do for fun? Do you go on holidays? Do you relax?
Well,
do you
have I travel around the world. No, but I travel around the world. So like, for example, if I'm going to the Bocelli, that's kind of going to Italy. That's two birds with one stone. So sometimes just being at home and just, you know, watching broke flicks. I call it broke flicks because some people complain about not having money, but you binge on every show. You know every stats about the Springboks, but you don't know anything about your business. You know, and no stats on your life, but you know every player, every stat, every statistic. So, I just sometimes have to disconnect. Like I don't. I only slept an hour last night. I was so excited
Same
to come
here.
My brain wasn't like not shutting off.
So, have you figured out what you're worth now?
Yes.
Do you keep a tracker on how much you're actually worth? And that would be things that you own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Debt that you have?
I have no debt.
No, I'm not personal debt, but like
if same your business, I have no
your financing.
So yeah, I created a model that during the pandemic, like people would give me money and I changed it where I give them money. So I put $56 million US.
Okay,
my
so you
own
finance
money.
Other
people. Yeah, with my own money. So I started investing in businesses.
So what's the number? What do you think you're worth?
Billions and billions of rands.
Billions and billions.
Billions.
What do you think you're worth? I mean, don't be coy if you know the exact number.
Well, of course I know the exact number, but people are watching. So for purposes, I'm broke for the purposes of this show. And
okay, right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I have no money. By the way, can you order me an Uber?
Yeah, sure. IRS, we don't need to be talking about this.
By the way, people like, I love the IRS. Like people attack the IRS. Like, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, people's net worth, whatever anybody tells you their net worth, you can take a sponge. It doesn't mean you have assets, right? At the end of the day, I've always looked at how much cash. And I think, I have a lot of it because I believe some of the best opportunities come when you have cash, but people want to park it in a 10% investment.
All right. What is the point of having money to you?
You know,
and I don't mean this in some sarcastic way.
No, I agree. Listen, two things. Number one, after I made my first million at the age of 24, coming from Canada to the United States, that's US dollars. And I made my second million at 25, my first 10 million at 28. And then I was a nine figure guy in my early 30s, right? And if I die, my money goes to charity, right? So 99% of it's gonna go to charity and then people around me are gonna be taken care of. I actually donated here to many of the children's hospitals when I came here and give back, and I give back to a lot. And to be honest with you, like, I drive a 2015 Range Rover. I absolutely hate the disgustiveness of what you see online. All the people that are flexing Lambos. And you know the funny is, I had Tonino Lamborghini at my event, and he's giving me a free Lamborghini, right? And so I don't flex this.
You said that very well. Just say it again.
Tonino Lamborghini gave me a free Lamborghini.
But all this conspicuous consumption.
Because you know what? People think, number one, if someone is flexing their stuff, they're selling you a course. That's the first thing, right? And what you need to ask yourself is, how many people have a Ferrari or Lamborghini or a plane because of this? I believe in flexing relationships. I believe meaningful relationships with people. And there's a reason why I do business with legitimate, you know, Forbes billionaires. And a lot of people do business because I always add value. Just like when you can your show, hey, do you want to have George Ross, right? Sure. That adds value to your show and adding value to the audience.
Hey, I was happy to have you here. You didn't have to bring any celebrities.
By the way,
this time.
You know what? I ate Nando's. I ate Nando's yesterday. But I was very interesting. Does the Trump's thing here have anything to do with Trump? Because
no,
I see it.
No.
Very,
no,
very
no,
different.
No.
Yeah, that's been there for a long time.
I know.
Yeah.
But it just, I saw that. I'm like, I don't know. Like, are they going to protest?
No, no, you're talking about that restaurant in Santa. Yeah, that's been there. Ben's right. It's been there for years.
But I had a Nando's. Like, I'm a simple guy. I don't believe in flexing.
Yeah, this flashy stuff seems to me, though, to be a kind of, it's designed to appeal to people who are not rich.
Correct.
Right?
Like, I don't have anything of mine.
The people
Louis Vuitton.
Who flex the cars, the houses, the clothes, the jewelry.
Did you post something this week about most of luxury products are bought by
middle class people?
I mean, look at you. You're wearing Christmas socks. Like,
I'm
happy. Like, what are we, like, is it May? May.
No, Ben's wearing Christmas socks.
Christmas socks.
I'm wearing blue socks and wearing
a
blue jersey.
No, I know there's a recession here, but I mean, if you need socks, I'll take you to Woolworth. I saw three for the price of one.
I got
I bought
of socks.
T-shirts. I went to Woolworth and they were like $4 US. And I'm like, winning! Man, I was like, I'm in heaven, man. I picked up every T-shirt there
I'm sure you're going to go back with so much luggage.
But look at this, right? My friend Tommy Hilfiger, right? If we just that little flag.
He's your friend.
Yeah, he's my friend. He's
Tommy
in my
Hilfiger.
Book, and he wrote a whole thing. You know what I did?
Yeah, that's
but
great.
You know how, Matt? I paid money. There was like a charity auction, and I paid money. It says, you want to have lunch with them. I jumped on it. Now, people say, why would you do that? So hypothetically, let's say—
Of course you would want to have lunch with them.
No, no,
but
you have to pay, obviously, because you have the charity.
Yeah, but
sure. Because why? But here's what I understand.
But you got money. That's what you want money for.
Yeah, no, you have—because here's the thing. How am I supposed to meet Tommy Hilfiger? Like, I can't DM him. So there was an opportunity. I know, and you're the same way as me. I don't know you at the Christmas socks are a little just, I just want to point that out there. I mean, when I saw that, I'm like,
glad you saw that. I didn't even notice.
Oh, first thing I noticed when I came in here, I thought I checked my watch. Maybe I'm missing something. It does match your shirt, I have to admit. So I paid for a charity. It was a lunch. I brought two of my clients with me, very consistent. Wherever I do, I always bring people. I always like to share the moment. And 45 minutes turned into 3 hours. And I said, you know, I tried them for years to come to my event. Offered them a size 500,000. People said, doesn't want to do it, doesn't like doing it. Build value. And I said, hey, can I raise more money for your charity? He goes, absolutely. I said, I'll put an event 7 minutes from your house. Because the minute you have to get on a plane, a private plane.
Sure. People don't want to do that.
You know what I mean? It just gets there. And now, by the way, I got a free shirt. I got a free thing. But the power of branding is this. If you could go to my Google and see my interview with him, if you type in JT Fox, Tommy Hilfiger. But you take this flag and you remove this logo here, this Tommy Hilfiger logo, right? Mm-hmm. It's a 40, you know, maybe it's an 80 Rand shirt at Woolworth, right? But because it's got a flag, it's literally like a thousand Rand.
You're right.
Right?
And
because
that's the power,
it's the power of the brand, just like you're a brand.
And the power of that brand is something which is made up.
But look at the Pope. Think about this, right? The Pope is now elected.
He's selling T-shirts?
But think about this, right?
Wow, lots has changed since he became Pope.
I've met the Cardinal, the new Pope in Chicago.
Yeah.
I lived in Chicago.
Right.
I met him one time,
right?
I got communion
there.
From him. And by the way, if there was a Cardinal here, right? Yeah. Nobody would care. You're like, hey, Father, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, the Pope is now the Pope. Now millions of people are like, oh my God. They will line up the streets and they'll cry. He was a regular dude 5 minutes before.
Yeah.
That's branding.
Oh, he was walking.
By the way, that's branding.
Yeah, that's very
That's
good.
Branding. All brands are created.
Right.
Just like Louis Vuitton, just like everything, which is why people now, one thing that will survive AI is you building a personal brand. because that personal brand, you could say whatever you want about the Kardashians, but they've built a really good brand. And I think a lot of people, you can have the best product, the best service, but if you don't get noticed first, it just doesn't matter.
I agree with
you. By the way, whether it's at your job or whether it's in your business.
So listen, you've got your own podcast as well.
I do.
So tell people about that.
So it's called the 1% of the 1%. And
does that come from Bernie Sanders?
No. No,
the 1% of the 1%.
No.
Are you tax dodging rich man?
He says the 1%. I say the 1% of
the
1%,
which is even more 0.01%. But he would tax the hell out of you if he could.
I mean, nobody cares about
Bernie Sanders. Yeah, come on, cares. You love Bernie Sanders.
Nobody loves Bernie. He's like an angry grandpa.
AOC loves him because they're going to run
because they're socialists.
They're going to run as
a... Dude, he's going to be 100 years old by the time that happens. It's never going to happen. Calm down.
Yeah, but she'll make up for it.
She'll never make it. Calm down.
20-something.
Calm down.
And
calm
a barista.
Down. You know,
that's just her qualification. Just,
and by the way, Trump's going to run for a third term.
Oh, don't say that. You know, first of all, that really gets the Democrats upset.
By the way, what's up with
upset?
This associating yourself with like the BRICS thing, right? Like you know what happens?
Okay,
the Chinese come here.
Ask a question.
The Chinese come here. They take all your resources and then they bring it back to China and then they charge you a premium for it. But like I don't understand like why South Africa would associate themselves with that.
I don't either. I don't have an answer for you, but I think a lot of this has just got to do with we've got other friends. We don't need to be friends with you. It's like this childish notion. Listen, our government, and particularly the ANC, the majority party in this country, a lot of what they do just comes from this unbelievable victim mentality. And you know, when you're driven by a victim mentality, you don't even know what's good for you. You're so desperate to lash out at people who you think have wronged you, whether it's the Western world or whatever else, that you will make decisions which are counterintuitive to your own survival and happiness.
Most people don't know about the issues. If we talk about BRICS,
They don't. And China, as you rightly point out, China doesn't care about
Africa. They just want to take your resources,
man.
They're just going to take their mind, take their resources, and bring it back. And then they're going to do what they did with every other African countries. They're going to screw you. And then they own you because they lend you money.
Correct.
That's exactly
what's
going to
happen. And half your infrastructure they built for you as a loan.
Correct. Yeah. And that's exactly what's going to happen. This is a beautiful country. I always say this. This is a third world country with first world people. That's the difference between here and the rest of Africa.
That's an interesting looking
right?
thing.
And so because you can place any South African here and place them anywhere in the world.
Carl DeSantis is getting my Pope golf shirt next week. Nice. Thanks for the...
I get the socks too. Just
well, JT sure. bro, I actually do need socks, says someone else in the comments.
I have white socks.
I got white socks on this morning too. At least we're all wearing clothes.
I was going to wear a suit. Remember, I always wear a suit.
I know. I was going to. I almost imagined that you'd walk in here in a suit. And I thought I'd dress down.
You know what?
Down.
I have one suit. I'm saving it for 5,000 people tomorrow. I didn't want to wrinkle it.
So, okay, what is the thing tomorrow?
So, it's an event with Robert Kiyosaki.
Is it open? Is it sold out already?
No, they could still get some tickets. And it's at the Emperor's Palace.
Oh, good.
And, you know, it's going to be a great 2 days of speaker.
And the book,
Business War.
Believe it or not,
you have to go to Amazon.com to get it because Amazon.co.za doesn't support. Because what it is, I have Amazon print on demand. So I gave a little bit more to Amazon. But what they do is all over the world, Amazon will like, let's say you write a book. Instead of you shipping like 10,000 books to America, like basically whoever orders the book, they print it there on the spot.
Right.
They take a little bit more.
They don't have to have inventory.
But they don't do that. They don't do that here, right? And I was like, well, this is a business idea.
Supposedly, we've now got an Amazon distribution center warehouse
in the country.
Yeah, but
there's nobody who prints on demand books. So I think like maybe I'll start this business here.
Not a bad idea.
And we became partners.
That is what business people do. They see opportunities and they take them.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we take what I built in AI and we build it here in South Africa? By the way, my friend Robert Gumede was very interested.
No, he did very well. He's not no shy.
They just bought sugar. He told me he just bought all these sugar places. They're taking over.
He's not an idiot at all.
No,
he's a smart guy.
By the way, he is very smart. And you know what? He's always been very loyal and very nice to me. And we just happened. Here's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
So about 6 months ago, I'm landing from London to Amsterdam. I land, I get a text message. Hello, my brother. I miss you. It's Robert Grimaldi, right? I hadn't seen him since 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where are you? He goes, Amsterdam. I'm like, no way.
Oh, wow.
We were both in Amsterdam. He came to me at my hotel and we got together and we were supposed to meet up here, but there was an emergency thing. He had to go to Europe for But I have so much respect for him. And, you know, his daughter's now running Gajima and the other places, Roberta. And I just, you know, just a solid guy and really never forgot there. But also, too, you know, having listened to Patrice speak, like how, like the love for the country, these people have legitimate love for the country. Now, you know, I've met so many, Ivo Ivokovic is another great entrepreneur here at Paramount. So I've met so many amazing people here, and there is opportunity. It's just you have to tune out the negativity.
Well, listen.
You have to tune out the fact that people are washing themselves in the river and there's dead bodies in there. And just, you know, unsubscribe. Just unsubscribe. Save the money and unsubscribe from the negativity.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm taking over this show. It's called Real Positivity Network. Nobody will listen because they only want real negativity. In fact, you should rebrand the show Real Negativity.
Okay, all right. You know what? I've had enough of your business strategies for this morning.
By the way, the Joe Rogan of South Africa has spoken.
No, dude, it's so good to see you, and thanks for popping by. You can find out more by going to businessiswar.com, and for Ben's show, watch the Greatest Photos in Sport Part 2.
It is this week, yeah.
Right?
And get your Christmas socks where?
And get your...
No, these are one of ones. I'm not telling...
Dude, you got to like sell those, man. You know how much money we can make?
You know what, Ben?
Monetize. There's so much opportunity to make in this country.
I actually think wearing Christmas socks...
Blue ones in the middle of the year, red ones for Christmas.
I think wearing Christmas socks in...
Which way am I going? There we go.
In May is like... playing Christmas songs on the radio. You don't do that.
Fucking,
or showing Christmas movies.
You relax. They're blue socks. I wake up at like 5:20 to get in the show on Friday.
What, do you wake up in the dark?
Yes, mostly.
And do you always wear a scarf? No. Is this like in America, we don't have that. Like, we would get canceled.
Jesse, it was fucking cold this morning. I feel
cold.
Cold?
What are you talking about? Canada's cold. This is warm.
Yeah, actually. Yes, talk to Canadians about the cold.
Yeah, cold. Like, that, my Uber driver had max heat. I'm like, dude, what is this, Florida weather?
Yeah. So I feel the cold. I'm quite low body fat percentile. I do feel the cold heavily. And the studio, like, I'm here most of the week. The air cons are very low. So I like to be, you know, comfy on the couch.
But was it in the dark where you went like this, like Stevie Wonder, and look at your thing? Or you're like, I'm going to wear Christmas socks. Like,
I have an extensive sock drawer.
Are you in a relationship?
No. Uh-huh. So I have...
It's starting to explain things.
So I have gym socks. I have golf socks. I have smart socks. And then I have colored socks.
It sounds like I got Bubba Shrimp, got big shrimp, small shrimp.
I've never realized that recently. I have
right,
so many socks.
We're going to wrap this up. Thank you. You're both talking so much shit. And thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll see you Monday, bright and early at 6 a.m. Have a good weekend. It's the weekend, baby. Ciao.